Well, praise the Lord. It's so wonderful to be able to offer up the evening sacrifice. Praise the Lord, come into his presence. Well, tonight, the message title is Seven Trumpets of Revelation. So we're going to look to the Word of God tonight and let's ask the Lord to open our ears and heart to hear. Maybe the Lord wants to change us on the inside and get us more involved with things that are taking place in spiritual realms on the planet. So tonight, the seven trumpets. But first, let's go to John chapter 12, 31 to 32. Jesus said, as he was coming to the cross, he said, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world, Satan, will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all the nations to me. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, not only in the cross, but lifted up by his people all across the nations, he will draw all peoples to himself." On Calvary's hill, the God of heaven drove a stake into the ground, the old rugged cross, and reclaimed the planet, which had fallen under the dominion and power of Satan due to Adam's sin and disobedience against God. The scriptures are clear. 2 Corinthians 4, 2-4. "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled or hidden to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded." Satan is called the God of this age by the Apostle Paul. "Has blinded who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." Ephesians 2, 1-2. "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world," the spirit of this world, "according to the prince of the power of the air." Paul designates Satan with that title, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. 1 John 5:19. "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one," the devil. We are of God. We've been redeemed. We've been rescued. But the whole world outside of Christ lies under the sway, the power, the influence of the wicked one. Luke 4, 5-7. Jesus says he endured the temptation of Satan. The Bible says, "Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time," the nations of earth. "And the devil said to him, 'All this authority I will give you, and their glory.'" Yeah, the nations have glory on one side. "He said, 'For this has been delivered to me.'" Who gave it to him? Adam, in the act of rebellion and sin. "All this has been delivered to me. And the devil said, 'I give it to whomever I wish.'" He's involved in the political regimes and the situations of earth in governmental realms. He said, "Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." What a claim. And what an authority. What a power. The whole world lies in the power of Satan. Except the light of the gospel would come into our hearts and change us and make us sons and daughters of God by the precious blood of Christ. Psalm 2 and Acts 4, compare these. Psalm 2, 1-3. David said, "Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord Jehovah and against Messiah, his anointed Christ, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. They're not going to rule over us, the nations of the earth. Now notice, David said, why do the nations rage? But in Acts chapter 4, it's in the past tense because the cross has taken place. And the early church said, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage? And the people plot vain things. The enemy could not stop the purpose of God. He could not hinder Jesus Christ. He could not thwart the gospel purpose. The enemy throughout the Old Testament was trying to hinder God's purpose. We are not going to have Christ come. We're not going to have a victory by this Son of God. But Jesus Christ came, and in the victory of the cross, all of a sudden is, why did the heathen rage? They couldn't stop this. Jesus Christ reigns. He reigns, and he's going out conquering and to conquer. He has patience. He's long-suffering. He doesn't want anybody to perish. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, gathering in the harvest of all the nations. And then the end will come. And in the end, Jesus Christ will emerge as the one and only conqueror to bring to pass the final overthrow of Satan and the kingdoms of this world. And then he will usher in a new world of righteousness, the new heavens and the earth. That's the teaching of the Bible, and particularly the book of Revelation. Well, what about the seven trumpets of Revelation? You know, the visions of Revelation are specific unto themselves. It's very difficult to view Revelation as unfolding chronologically in sequence of events, because quite a number of times you end up at the end of the age in the book of Revelation, and then it's like another vision starts and shows another picture. And so the trumpets are a vision in themselves. John hears these seven trumpets, and he hears the first trumpet, and a vision opens, and he writes about it. And trumpets 1-4 deal with the planet, an attack on the planet. Because Satan not only hates man made in the image of God, he hates the planet. He hates the creation of God, and he will do anything he can to make life miserable for man on the earth. There's an attack on the planet, these trumpets show us, 1-4, and then it shows us a vicious assault on man, men and women of earth, the nations. And then the seventh trumpet sounds, and it's all over. The coming of the Lord, the end day, the end of time. Well, let's look at these trumpets tonight. The first trumpet deals with the earth. Revelation 8:7, the first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood. Humanity dying under this situation. And they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. You know, I believe these supernatural occurrences are cumulative. They're not just one time, wow, a third of the planet is destroyed, and something else happens, and another quarter of the planet is destroyed. This is a vision of an attack against the environment, against the earth. Hail and fire mingled with blood. There's a supernatural force that thrusts this down on the earth, and the result is that there is damage in the earth. Satan hates the planet, and he hates man, and he wants to destroy both. He uses the agency of man to destroy the planet, but he also is involved in diabolical interference. Job chapter 1 is very telling, because there was a hedge around Job, a protection. The enemy couldn't touch him, but The enemy wanted permission. And Job came under a trial of faith. And when he did, and the hedge of protection was removed from him, some very dire things began to take place, and they were by the agency of Satan. Fire fell from heaven and burned up all the sheep and the servants. The servant said, "Fire from God," but he thought it was from God. It wasn't from God. It was Satan. A wind tore through the house. A tornado, as it were, came through in verse 19 of Job 1, and all his sons and daughters were killed in that calamity. Satan has power to affect this planet. Tornadoes, hail, disasters, calamities. These scriptures reveal this to us. That vicious assault. Look at the magicians of Egypt. They could turn a rod into a snake. They could turn water into blood. They could make frogs come up out of the river. There is a power in Satan that he has. And it stands to reason as we look at the first trumpet, the environmental disaster and the situations on earth that take place, that we should understand that there is an attack against this planet and that we should be involved where we can in a remedial way, in a redemptive way. Humanitarian aid, supply, care for people, compassion. There are forces that are trying to destroy this planet and man on it. Second trumpet, the sea. Revelation 8:8-9. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Again, this can be cumulative, adding up over the last days until you come to the time of the end where we are, and we see an intensifying and increasing of things that are taking place on the planet. The sea. So many coastal waters are polluted today that people can't even enjoy the beaches. There are dead zones. Marine life is under threat. There are garbage patches in the ocean in many places. There is something, these forces are coming on the environment, trying to destroy the earth, and the earth, of course, is wearing out. 100 years ago, the population of Earth was 2 billion people. In 100 years, the population of the Earth is now 8.3 billion people. You talk about stress and strain on the planet. It's there. Well, what about conservation? What about reforestation? What about recycling? What about clean air and clean energy? I believe as Christians we should do all we can. The earth is the Lord's. Let's do all we can to preserve it and conserve it. Well, you might say, yeah, but the Bible says that it's going to wear out like an old garment and God's just going to fold it up and set it aside. Well, I'm glad we don't do that with our clothes. It would be foolish to say these clothes are going to wear out, so whatever will be, will be. No, we take care of our clothes, don't we? We know they're not going to last forever, but we clean them and we ensure they're fresh and they last longer. And I think that's what God has us to do for the planet. But there's an attack on the seas of the world. Number three, the third trumpet, the rivers. Revelation 8:10-11, then the third angel sounded and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is wormwood. Wormwood was a bitter plant with poisonous effects. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. The polluted springs and waters and rivers of the world. Waterborne diseases that kill multitudes of people every year. There's an attack on the rivers, on the springs of water. I just checked a few days ago, and do you know that one-third of the earth today, one-third of the population of the earth, does not have access to safe drinking water? There's an attack on the planet. There's an attack on the environment. And so we understand this. And as Christians, again, we seek to do what we can. But we know there are things happening on this world. Fourth trumpet, the air, the atmosphere. Revelation 8, 12 to 13. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who were about to sound." So 5, 6, and 7. But this fourth angel sounded, and there was a darkening in the atmosphere. Now, I don't know what this will portend concerning the future. You know, cosmic upheaval and disturbance, fluctuation and change in the heavenly bodies. Jesus said that at the end, men's hearts will fail them for fear because of the things that are coming on the earth. So we don't know what things are yet coming on the earth. We're living now, but perhaps there is an application here to atmospheric pollution. There are cities in this world today that are entirely engulfed in smog. Cities have multiplied millions of people, and when you're in those cities, you can't even see the clear, bright light of the sun. Some people living in those cities never see the clear, bright light of the sun. An attack on the planet, air pollution and air quality and all kinds of situations that result in health and medical things. To me, it's this attack on the planet. Satan hates the planet. He wants to make life miserable. Satan would strip every conceivable joy and blessing for man if he could. And so we understand that these things are taking place. Let's go to trumpet number 5. We leave the environment, we leave the planet, and we're going to look at something else that takes place, an assault against man. Revelation 9, 1 to 11. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth. And to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads, those who do not belong to Jesus Christ. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. Abaddon and Apollyon mean destroyer. All commentators, almost without exception, say that that fallen star is Satan. These are hellish hordes that have been released upon the earth to torment, to afflict, to reign over the nations. And when we think of the multiplied hundreds of millions of people tonight who are bound in addiction, alcoholism, immorality, illicitness, fear, anxiety, drugs, oppression, depression. This is speaking of a release of these hideous, hellish hordes, the demonic spirits of darkness that go to seek their way across the earth. Trumpet number six. Sixth trumpet, hellish horsemen. John is seeing a vision. The trumpets are there sounding, they're announcing, they're warning. Things are going to take place on the planet because Satan hates the planet. And things are going to take place across the broad spectrum of men and women because Satan hates the creation of God, men and women made in the image of God. Revelation 9, 13 to 21, then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. The river Euphrates. It was the place from which foreign armies came and invaded toward the west. The river Euphrates, in spiritual terms, is speaking of an invasion. And here John is seeing an invasion of hellish horsemen. He said, now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. 200 million hellish horsemen riding across the earth. These principalities, these powers, 200 million, 8 billion people on the planet, 200 million demonic agents. He said, I heard the number of them, and thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow, and the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their tails. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Man, that's quite an army, isn't it? 200 million hellish horsemen released across the planet, John sees. Some people have the idea that one of these days in the future, an army is going to come out of Asia. Well, listen, China can manufacture a lot of things, but they're not breeding horses like this. Those are not natural horses. Those are powers of darkness. Those are demonic spirits that go across the earth to enslave mankind. And Jesus has the gospel going forth at the same time throughout this New Testament era to save as many people as he can. When you think of how swift this belching smoke of the trumpet number five, as like the smoke of a furnace going across the land, you think how swift some delusions of the enemy take hold, you can hardly believe it. And there are entire nations today, numbering hundreds of millions, even up to a billion people, that are totally bound under false religion, idols, witchcraft, delusions, New Age. All of a sudden, we never heard of New Age till a few decades ago. All of a sudden, it's everywhere. How did it get everywhere? It seems like in weeks or months, because there are hellish horsemen that ride the planet. You think of the sexual revolution in the 1960s and the drug culture that came in. I mean, it was all over the world in months. How does it happen? Hellish horsemen ride. And there's this warfare on the planet. A warfare against the environment. Because it's the creation of God and Satan hates it. And Jesus Christ, this is something that really has borne witness in my heart. Jesus Christ is not working only to redeem man. He is going to restore the planet to the way it should be. And those two are working. And in the meantime, we've got a world that's wearing out. It's under duress. Man-made things, man-induced environmental things. What about climate change? Potential climate change. Yeah, you can understand it. A world that's wearing out, a world that's under stress by man. And back of it, Satan, trying to do all he can to inflict misery on this planet. And the hellish hordes and the hellish horsemen ride. Seventh trumpet, the second coming of Christ. Revelation 10:7. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. When the seventh trumpet sounds, this New Testament age is over, and we go to be with the Lord. Revelation 11:15, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. 1 Corinthians 15:51-52, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, the seventh trumpet. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. When the seventh trumpet sounds, we're going up at the second coming of Christ. But till that day, the trumpets are sounding in the earth. Things are happening in the environment, in the oceans, in the air, in the seas. Changes maybe in the heavenly bodies, different things that are coming on the earth. And in the midst of it all, Satan is unleashing his delusions. I mean, entire nations bound under despotisms and totalitarian regimes, such bondage that people are suffocated and broken and oppressed, communism and slavery. These are hellish things that have come upon the planet. We've been rescued to the Lord our God, but I believe we need to have a world sympathy and do all we can to help the planet conserve and preserve, reach every widow and orphan that we can, reach every person through prayer, reach the people God has given us, because we know the warfare and the assault and the attack on this world. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Let's have the worship ministry come. The Bible says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Daniel chapter 10 opens up to us that there are territorial spirits. He said there's a spirit that reigns over Persia in his day. And he says, when that spirit has gone, another principality, Grisha, will reign. The empires of the Medo-Persians and the empire of the Grecians. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in spiritual realms, in the heavenly places. This is what the Apostle Paul said. Now, I know this is sobering, but it needs to be. We wrestle, the Bible says. We wrestle. There's a fight going on. There's a conflict that every Christian should be involved in, against principalities, against powers, against wicked spirits, against the rulers of this darkness of this world. God has us down here, you know. If we will open up our heart and really receive and understand the battle on the planet, the battle for the planet, and the battle for souls, no one will ever have to try and persuade us to get to the prayer service again. We'll be intercessors for life. That's the warfare. It's that extreme. It's more real than we can imagine. And by the grace of God, we are shielded, or we would be overwhelmed and probably couldn't function right in our day-to-day life. But the Apostle John showed us what the battle's like. Hellish hordes, hellish horsemen, supernatural agencies riding out across the planet to break men and women, keep them in their sin, break them under delusions and all the sinfulness of man. Intercessors for life, when we see the battle. Prayer warriors and worship warriors. Fasting prayers at times. Intercession. Prophesying to dry bones. Proclaiming scripture promises over the nations. You know, Satan is a wicked foe. We wrestle. You think about a wrestling match when somebody wants to pin somebody down. The effort, the strain, that's the language the Bible is using for the warfare that we're involved with as people of God against the powers of darkness. We wrestle. Satan fights for every soul. He does not want to lose one person to the cause of Jesus Christ. He wants to drive man in misery, into lostness, and end him up in a Christless eternity. It's a warfare against the powers of Satan. You know, in Revelation 12, when Satan was cast out from heaven, he decided to fight as he was going out. Satan does not go out quietly. Michael and the angels had to fight against Satan and those demon powers, even though they were defeated. The Bible says Satan was standing over Jesus in Bethlehem, ready to devour the Christ child when he was born. He'll run a herd of 2,000 swine over the banks of the down into the sea when he's driven out. That's the hatred. That's the vileness that the Bible shows us. A young boy, a young teenage boy, barely in his teens, according to the Greek word, the devil cast out of him, and as the devil was coming out, he tore him and injured him. That's the cruelty. Down in Samaria, when Philip was preaching the gospel into that new territory, and the Bible says that unclean spirits came out of many. Did they go quietly? No, crying aloud in protest. This is the warfare. This is the warfare. Trust our eyes are opened. Our spirits are open tonight. We need to be involved in prayer. We need to be involved in evangelism. We need to carry the intercessions for this broken world. Pray. Jesus said, pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Pray Psalm 2. Ask of me and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. So we say, Lord, that's the word you spoke to your son when you set him on the holy hill of Zion and made him king. Say, Father, Father, we ask for your son, Jesus. Give him the nations as your inheritance. Give him souls. Give him the uttermost parts of the earth. Give him this part of the earth for his possession. I cry out for souls. People are changed. People's lives come under the anointing, under the felt presence of God, under the love of Christ. You know, it's a sad thing. As we saw in one of the scriptures tonight that even though there's such affliction by Satan on mankind, it said they wouldn't repent. Lives that are miserable, broken, diseased, in such bondage, and yet that hardness in man to give up his own will and turn to the Lord and walk with the Lord. This is a fearful thing about mankind, but here we are. We are part of the liberating army. We are those called to reach as many people through our finances, through our prayers, through our efforts, through our evangelism, as many people as we possibly can, at home and abroad, for the name and the glory of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I exhort, first of all, this is of the highest importance, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all men, for kings and for all men, for kings. They need prayers, not criticism. Governments need prayers, not so much criticism. If we knew the powers of darkness that were influencing them, we'd be less critical and more prayerful. It's a wicked battle on the earth. Pray, Paul said, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so here we are. Just stir our hearts to be involved with the Lord in a more fervent way. You know, make us a house of prayer that we might meet you there on behalf of the nations to a dying generation. Make us a house of prayer. No, Lord, teach us to pray unceasingly night and day. Make our intercessions for you a mighty weapon. Oh Lord, teach us to pray. You have to fight for your sons and daughters. You have to fight for your family. You have to fight for souls. Because we have a vicious foe, a wicked adversary. And we see it in the scriptures tonight. Well, let's stand together and offer ourselves to the Lord. Anyone tonight say, yeah, I want to become an intercessor for life. I want to carry the burdens of a broken world and humanity and the sinfulness and the struggle on the planet. I want to live as an intercessor. Just tell the Lord tonight you're willing for him to teach you how to pray, to intercede, to travail, to plead the promises of God, to walk in a depth with him. Hallelujah. Well, again, the altar is open. If anyone would like prayer tonight, slip out from where you are, but let's close out tonight and magnify the Lord and offer ourselves to him and offer ourselves for the battle for the souls of men and women.